This is tape T94/19, and I'm Valentina Bold. I'm about to talk to Mrs. Sheila McWhinney on the 12th of December 1994 about her experiences of going to and working in Glasgow cinemas in the 1930s. Uncomfortable about it, but I'll put it up beside you again and then it'll pick you up.
Oh, but doesn't it mind all the coffin? Mm. Well, I put it here, maybe in the table. Hi, if you like, me, whatever's.
More comfortable for you.
I'm fine to knock it off. Is that it?
Okay.
Aye, that'll be great. Well, now, before we go any further, I'll put these up here, and I'll show you this. It's nothing much. I'll tell you how this came about. I went up to my cousin's one time, and this was her hobby, and she'd a list of all the people she could listen before I was in the cinemas or anything. So she'd a list of the all these film stars. So she's writing up for hers. Mine's was still Bing Crosby. So I wrote a letter to Bing Crosby, a very short one. I thought, I'm not going to read all these letters. I said, I've seen all your films and enjoyed most, and that was just some total of my letter. So I got this letter back. This is now 1936, as you can see. Somebody asked me for the stamp in the cinema. Somebody asked me for the big picture. So this is another story.
That's
so that's the letter.
So it's postmarked Los Angeles, California, Hollywood.
And I think it's 36, isn't it? Does it say?
Yeah, 36, uh-huh. Yeah. That's amazing, isn't it? See. Miss Sheila Connor, 4 Camden Street, Glasgow.
That was a gorgeous. That was a
gorgeous. Oh, wow. That's amazing, and it's on his paper as well, Bing Crosby, National Broadcasting Company, New York City. And hand-signed, and everything.
That was nice,
lovely,
isn't it? And a lovely big picture like this. This is another story about this other picture.
Right.
Another picture almost like this. And but somebody borrowed the picture, and that was the last of it.
Oh.
Somebody borrowed my wedding photographs. I never got them back, and I can't remember who they were. And somebody asked me for the stamp, and I didn't know to give them the stamp. So there wasn't much left.
But it's a really nice letter, isn't it? Uh-huh. Mind if I just read it?
No, you read it. Your voice. I'm very busy.
Well, save your voice anyway. It's Dear Miss O'Connor. It's dated November 16th, 1936. Dear Miss O'Connor, glad to hear from you. I appreciate knowing how my efforts are received, and I welcome any suggestions. I hope you like Rhythm and the Range. My last picture, Pennies from Heaven, will be released sometime this fall. I am on the Kraft Music Hall broadcast every Thursday evening, 7 to 8, National Broadcasting System. The picture is being sent under separate cover. Best wishes and many thanks for your interest. Sincerely yours, Ben. Nice.
That was nice. So somebody got, as I say, somebody got the photograph and that was the end of that, and somebody got the stamp and that was all that was left. So in 76, I've got two papers somewhere, I don't know where I put them, two papers, newspapers when he died. In 76, I don't know where I put them, in 76 he came to Edinburgh, I don't know what many halls he was going around, he came to Edinburgh and my daughter, knowing that I like Bing Crosby, booked seats for us. So I sent that to the Edinburgh Theatre and said, would it be possible to meet him? And I had this letter all this time. And when I got there and saw the show, it was quite good. And his voice was still as good, but stiff. You know, he couldn't do well. He was in his 70s by this time. Is that too warm for you? I thought you were late.
I'm
as soon as you want it on and off, just say.
Right.
So I waited and somebody coming to say, I think your seats were all numbered. Nobody came, so I didn't go. And Tricia, I remember, said, Denny's out there, there's people talking to him. Go out. And I said, no, I've sent the letter. He doesn't send for me, I'm not going out. So I didn't go out and I thought the letter was lost. And I heard no more for months. And all of a sudden, this came. There's the envelope for that one. Oh, maybe the newspapers are in here. This came. And the letter was in it.
Uh-huh.
And another photograph. So you can see the difference. I think it says 76 in this.
Yes, November 18th, yeah. Mind you, it looks like he's got the same typewriter.
I can't believe it. Probably
it really does, actually.
It's probably sick. But however, the letter did come back, wherever it got to. The letter
That's
did come back.
To Mrs. Sheila McWhinney, if
this time it was McWhinney.
hand signed again.
That was 40 years later. 40 years later.
Right enough. Yeah.
40 years later. But the letter came back. So where the letter got to, I do not know. This photograph of the letter came back inside that.
That's
next year he was dead. That was true. I kept that he was dead.
Yeah.
He died very soon. He died on the golf course, which was quite a good way to go.
I mean, I like the photo with his golf club.
Isn't it? My grandson's now a golfer.
Well, that's really nice.
Valentine, as soon as you get cold, let me know because I've got to switch it on and off from you.
I mean, I noticed.
The heat-ups are on, but they're not very good, are they?
I noticed he mentions a couple of pictures in this. I hope you like Rhythm in the Range.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
I do remember. We went to see it. It wasn't just me, it was a fan. The group that went around, we were fans. And we did go to see Pennies from Heaven and Rhythm in the Rain. And you wouldn't believe it, was it last Tuesday or Wednesday? The neighbour that gets my pension and gets my prescription very good. We never done if I've spoken to you about it before. He said, Ben Crosby's on today. And you better watch the paper. We're going to put him on 10 o'clock. I think she said 10 o'clock in the morning, but I wasn't sure. So I looked at the paper and I just assumed it was a Ben Crosby picture. Didn't see it, didn't know. Did you have Ben Crosby on? I said, no, I didn't have him on. It was parts from all his pictures. 10 o'clock in the morning, Channel 4. Oh. Didn't they see it and didn't they know that she said she's got it taped and all got that.
Good to see that. I mean, I'm not familiar with either of these pictures, Rhythm in the Range or Pennies from Heaven. I mean, what were they like?
I'm trying to think what Pennies from Heaven was. I mean, that became a popular tune. Rhythm in the Range, I can't didn't see them because I didn't miss any of them. I really can't remember much about Rhythm in the Range. And I can't remember the story about Pennies from Heaven. It's quite possible that I've got them in there on tape and keeps. When we used to see old ones, we taped them. But what I've got, the tape recorders are beta. And nobody else can.
Oh, yeah.
I must look and see if I've got them for you, Valentina, to see what I've got.
I'd be interested. Mm. I mean, was it musicals that you mainly liked yourself? Or?
I don't know who started me off in Bing Crosby. I wasn't a musical person. My husband was great for classical music. And this thing here cost us an absolute fortune, £530 many years ago. I had Toshiba, the most hi-fi, I had stuff here, and of course when I'm no musical, the only one I did like was Bing. His voice appealed to me, not at least bit musical. So I think it was started off with my friends taking me to see him, you know, and then I don't know why. I did like his voice.
I'll give you his background just to find something with him. So, I mean, you said that you went to these films with your friends, I mean...
Yes, that's right. You'd be about maybe 15, 16. And as I say, it was important to get in when you were an adult. So you asked what you were like to know.
Well, I mean,
I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if you knew. When I worked in the Regal and in the picture house, they had what they called trade shows in the 30s. I don't know if you ever heard. And you were dead lucky if you got a trade show, you get paid double, so you went in somewhere at 10:30. And these cinemas in the town were what they called first run. So they get the film first, and they had it a week, and if it was good, they had it a fortnight. That was as long as it was. I could never have stuck these Sound of Music 6 weeks, and you could never have been up for it. But however, fortnight was as far as they kept it, if it was really good. And so the trade shows, they would put on a trade show in the morning. You took your turn at getting it because you get double money. And all the managers from other B cinemas or the owners came, saw the picture and booked it. But that wasn't shown in that cinema that day. You would get it eventually, but it wasn't shown that day. So that was what was called trade shows. So I was telling my daughter, the one that I remember was Little Nellie Kelly with Judy Garland. I didn't see it. But I remember coming in that day, and this lassie had been at the trade show. Oh, it was Little Nellie Kelly. And she starts singing the song. Oh, it was So Little Nellie Kelly was a hit. It was a fortnight.
Who was in that?
So that was trade shows in the 30s that they used to go in for all the managers. There were so many cinemas, you know.
I see.
I couldn't get that book for you with these wee telling you all the cinemas that were everywhere in Glasgow at us.
I have a feeling I've seen that because when you were telling me about the cinemas that you worked in and everything, it's not this one. It's called the Cinemas of Cinema City.
No,
because it has a picture of the star in Mary Hill in it anyway. So,
was it
just down in the bottom there? I don't know if it was like that as you remember it, or it doesn't have a date on it.
I don't remember. No, it's the star in Mary Hill,
isn't it? Aye. It may be a bit later than you worked there.
I worked there from 40 up to 39-40.
Right.
The war was on when I worked. The war started when I worked there. But as I say, you can't
can't really make out very well.
No, you can't really. You know, if it had been outside, it would have known it better.
Was it quite a big screen inside? Or?
No, what do you mean? That was funny. And what's this other one? The Rosevale, that was in a party. The Orient and the Star, I think I told you it was an old Irishman, McMahon, his name was, and he had six cinemas in Glasgow. He had the Orient and the Star, the Kelvin, the New Partick, that was three, the West End in Paisley and another one in Paisley. Oh God, I can't remember. Did I say the Orient and the Partick? Well, that was the one. Oh, the Orient, the New Partick, the Star, the West End. I'm too missing, sure. I'll think about them. So, he had actually, he made his money pig farming in Ireland, I think I told you. Came over and bought one cinema after another. And then he used to come in his big chauffeur car every go around all his cinemas on a Saturday night. Can I have a wee look at these? Can I go and see
course.
The kettle first?
Of course.
Then I'll have a look at them.
I'll see about the cake, Lee. Right. I've just given Swissers for her cakes.
Oh, that looks lovely. Thanks very much.
To see if it's digging out, please. Teapot, I don't need anything for, and Trish will know that I'll use it because it's no fancy enough.
Oh, this looks really lovely.
It's
very beautiful too.
Ah,
it looks great.
I'll probably quite want to throw these in there if you don't mind. Well, the tea, of course.
It's great.
I thought you might be interested to see it because I had the one that you worked in and everything.
It's funny that I don't remember that.
I have a feeling it might be a more modern picture, so it's maybe changed a bit inside.
It didn't last long, I think it went away in the 50s.
Did it?
Mm-hmm. Certainly this chap made his cinemas. The Kelvin had the sort of candles. Oh, it was really nice on either side, but it's never, remember, it's never been as fancy as that. Can't remember anything about it. Funnily enough, I didn't get worked there for 3 years before.
What were the colours like and things in it? Was it quite bright or...?
They were bright, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was one of these films. Funny thing of you, the New Party, the Orient, the West End, five of us do too, and this is annoying.
Were they mainly in that part of town, sort of?
No, it was all over Glasgow. The Orient was in Bridgeton. The New Partick was in Partick. The Kelvin was in Argyle Street. That's three. The Star was in Maryhill. And the two in Paisley. But I've missed one. There's one somewhere that I keep missing.
Yeah.
It was two in Paisley, the West End. I can't remember what the other one was. There's also one I'm missing out somewhere else.
See, what, you must have had quite a fortune with all these.
Of course, I really used to have his own chauffeur and his car. I'll just go through these quickly if that's all right with you.
Did you mix much with the staff from the other cinemas?
I thought this was really mean. I remember the manager taking me into the office one day and saying, we're having a staff dance. And this was only the time that we ever, for all the cinemas, for the six cinemas, it'll be mentioned a sum of money, 10 shillings. Well, I think my wage at that time was 17 and 6. And right away I said, can you go? How can you not go? What was half your week's wage? Oh, couldn't you pay that kind of money? I mean, to pay your mother, couldn't you pay that kind of money? You could pay up £6 a week. I said, no, I'm just not going, couldn't go. So there was nothing more said about our cinema. So whether there were, obviously the rest of the staff must have been in the same, because there was no more said. But there was a staff dance, because I remember one of the projectionists going, because his father was a big shot and he was only in the trade. And I remember he went to it. So there was a staff dance for all the the cinemas, but none of us could. I thought that was mean, really mean, that they couldn't pay for your ticket.
It's terrible, yes. I mean, were there any sort of perks that you got from working
well,
in the cinema?
Well, when you worked in the Regal, you could go round to the Playhouse. You could ticket, you could go there. You could also go to the King's Atmosphere, own hall. It was a way along Sun Hill Street at Charing Cross. It's a funny wee hall. I don't know what it had been before, but it was just a big long passage with seats. There was nothing in either, just one row of seats, you know, a big long passage. And you'd tickets for these places. Certain places, not everywhere, you know. Certain places you'd ticket, but that was as far as it went. Nothing else.
Because I was wondering if, you know, your friends would ask you for free tickets.
Well, you did get once a week on a Wednesday. And was it not in the town? It was a Thursday in the town, because that's where I heard about the country holiday. They used to say, "Oh, Wednesday's the country holiday," and I still talk to the girls about the country holiday. There's no such thing, so you couldn't get a ticket for a Wednesday. But I think the tickets, you got one lot of tickets for a Thursday in the city cinemas, and you got one lot of tickets when I was in the new staff for a Wednesday. That was just like evidently everybody came in from the outlying districts and to the cinemas on a Wednesday, and that was a busy night in the city. So that was only perks, as I say, on tickets, that was all. Nothing. Oh, I'll just give a wee quick one.
Aye, sure.
Do you want to pour your tea, Valentine?
I'll do that. Can I pour you one as well?
If you don't mind, aye.
Would you
rather have coffee?
No, tea's lovely.
Just some milk, please, no sugar. I'll just go through them quickly. I remember the Grand Central, that's still there. Is that the dirty picture house now? There's one there that shows dirty films.
I wouldn't know about that.
I don't know where the Grand Central was, funny enough. The Grand, I remember that. The picture house down near Camp Hill. You said Badfield, yeah, I went there quite often. That was rather upmarket, we thought.
Oh, right.
When you went to that one. The Waverley Shops, not. And the one in Burnside, not Princess, Big Bun, not, see, I didn't know his district now. The Olympia Bridge, and that wasn't his. It was the Orient. I'm trying to think what these six were, that's going away. The Bedford, aye, that was the Gorbals. Uh-huh.
What was that like?
That was a nice cinema. That was, in fact, three in Eglinton Street. I think it was Eglinton Street, I'm not just sure of the street. Now, three there were the Coliseum, the BB Cinerama, and this one, and they were really nice. They were really big, you know, they were dearer to get in than the ordinary wee ones that were all round about your corner, you know. They were really nice. Where was that one? The new cinema opened. Where was that? Near Bingo Hall, but didn't they tell you where it is? The Regent was in Enfield Street, is that right? The Grosvenor was in. I don't know my streets anymore. I know where it was. I've never been out for a long while. I should know where the parade was. Was that Denison? If I feel that was Denison.
I think it might have been.
The Rio, no, that was the Gorbals. Oh, no, that was Denison. It's just a minute. What does it say for the Rio?
Because I was interested when you were saying that there were so many cinemas in the Gorbals.
I could write. That's unfortunate. This book's got them all written, you know, all the names of them, and I certainly don't know what the book was and where I got it or anything. But I could write down as many as I could remember for you. Commodore Swartzen said, didn't you know that either? That's a pity. The Govan Cinema. Although I stay here now, I didn't know the Govan. I didn't know Govan very well. Well, I see him. That's still there. That's a bingo hall. That's still there, and it still looks pretty much the same. The Plaza, I remember that's in Govan. That wasn't Govan, it's in there anymore. And Steve Shackleton, I remember them, but I just moved up here. Mm-hmm. And Astoria, I just remember that dimly. Because we stayed in Maryhill, but we stayed down that end. Stayed in the Gorbals, stayed in Maryhill. Stayed in Cardonald, stayed here.
What was that one like?
The Roxy, the Roxy. Nobody liked that. That was a rough one. You know, the Star was a wee bit more upmarket from the rocks if you went to the rocks. That was just up the road from the new Star Cinema, the Roxy.
Is that, I mean, did some cinemas have that sort of reputation?
Ah, that one did, that one did.
Was it cheaper than the...
It was cheaper. I don't know the Bridgestone ones at all. No, a lot of their names, funnily enough, the Kelvin, that was one of the chaps, you know what I'm telling you? The Kelvin, the chap that went to, finally got to the dance, but his father was a salesman for the cinema, films. So he was only in learning the projectionist. So he was able to afford the dance, which we weren't. And he was 18, he was only 18. And the next thing he came through one day and says, get moved to the Kelvin. Oh yeah, I under manager at 18. Because his father was a part of this block who owned all the cinemas. He was the under manager till the war started.
A responsible job as well.
That was one of his sisters in the start. That's three, you've got three there all in a row. You've only another three going. The salon is still there, but it's nearly coming down.
That's right.
That's
terrible.
Okay, well, that's all good. That's that was interesting, wasn't it?
I mean, was it me?
Well, it's funny you've got three out of six here all the same.
Come on, you're not in. Let's take a wee break. Just brought them in specially for us.
Oh, that looks great.
The biscuits always keep in case somebody turns up because they... Are you sure you wouldn't rather have coffee?
No.
Are you sure?
It's great.
Well, eat something, go on.
Let's eat one of these, that looks really nice.
I'll have one of you.
I mean, was it mainly the local cinemas that you would go to then?
It was mainly. That's what I was going to tell you. I was never in the cinemas in the town because you couldn't afford to go to them until I worked in them. I was never in them. And where you could get into the Star, mind you, was up market, it was sixpence, whereas the Roxy was fourpence, and all the ones in the Gorbals were fourpence. So the uptown, the cheapest one in the town when I went in, the Regal and the Picture House, was a shilling. So that was quite a difference from fourpence. I mean, that was, you get, what, three times in for that. So you never went into the, I mean, you just couldn't. Never knew what the cinemas looked like up the town till I worked in it. Never knew. And nobody knew that was the paramount, as I told you, and I nearly got a job in it. The under manager was giving me a job, but the manager must have somebody else for it, and I never got it. Didn't get it. So I was nearly a dead. And I was so sure I was getting it, I was nearly getting in and telling mother boss that I was leaving, and luckily I held back.
I suppose there wasn't really much need to go into town anyway if there were all these really cinemas round about.
The only reason you went into town was if you wanted to be, oh say, I saw that already, the first, because it was the first run. If you wanted to be a wee bit, you know, it's sure, I've seen it, I went to see it.
So it was a wee bit behind by the time I got to
Yeah. Whereas now they seem to do all the halls at the one time, and then as Maureen says, they disappear, and it's a video, and you can't ever see them somewhere else again because they're on video and it's that. So Maureen was telling me.
I mean, because you were saying, you know, as I say, I was quite interested when you were saying there were so many of these wee cinemas in the Gorbals. Did they show the same pictures or was there a...
Different.
Right.
You could actually be in a cinema in the Gorbals every night in life and see something different. Except for a Sunday. Everything's shut on a Sunday. But they had cinema Sundays, and that was another scam. It was a cinema Sunday, and most times you were taken in for the cinema Sunday, they say it was for charity, so you didn't get any money. You were giving your services to charity for that cinema Sunday, and you get no money. So it was cinema Sundays, so you could even go on a Sunday if you wanted to find out where the cinema Sundays were.
I mean, how did the staff feel about that? I mean,
it just, well, they took it that it was for a charity and were quite happy to do it, you know?
Yeah.
There wasn't much grousing or anything like that.
Yeah, because that's interesting, because it was your day off.
Mm-hmm. It was your only day off. So you couldn't have a liaison with a boyfriend or anything. You and would come in and talk to you in the cinema, that was
you know, ones you knew from that stayed round about. But you just couldn't, you were too busy. Then I was in the Regal when I was called up. As I say, I was the first, that was the first call up age group. And then I was called out of the Regal. I had to go to labour exchange and yes, I ended up in the Rolls Royce. And ended up in Penalty. So I think you've dredged me.
Well, there was a couple of things I was wanting to ask.
You ask, guy.
I mean, I was listening to the tape before we came in. And for one thing, I mean, you were talking about your mother and, you know, how she really enjoyed going to the pictures.
She did. It was her life. It was her life.
I mean, I was wondering what her taste in, you know, do you remember what her taste in films was?
Just anything. Absolutely anything. Anything.
I mean, did she go quite a lot then?
4 or 5 times a week, really. And as I say, you were taken in the show when you were a baby. And Maureen says, oh, she said, I dimly remember them even in my day. She's 46 now, I think. I've lost count of my ages and my daughters. She says, coming in with young children into the cinema. She remembers that.
So,
I mean,
did she take
everybody?
The whole family?
The whole family. Like, once you got to maybe about 12, you didn't want to go with them. So you made arrangements to go with your pals. But quite often, if you weren't going with them, you didn't get the Thomas to go with your pals.
So it became a bit like all children, you felt a bit want to be seen with your parents.
That was true, and then you all had your own, you know, your own wee group when you got there.
Aye.
And during the news, you sat very quiet while the film was on. But during the news, everybody paraded around to see who they could see.
And then your father, did he go to the pictures?
He went with her, but I don't think he was that much struck on the same extent as she was. I said, that really was her life. I mean, she'd taken back down to earth. She was very nasty to live with. She really was. I mean, she'd taken back to solid earth. Well, it was the Gorbals. It was a room and kitchen, 7 people in it, and that was quite spacious considering some people's. And as I say, my father had been through the war at 16. He came out at 20, finished. He'd been wounded 4 times. He would say, that's where the bullet went in and that's where it came out. He was fighting my heart, you know. And as I say, his first job was sweeping the streets, and after that, no job at all. And it was what they called the means test. And I think it was a shilling you got for your children. And I suppose life was hard for them, you know. My father, as I said, did knock out money. He would go and buy a box of fish, go round doors selling fish. He would go round doors in some district that they didn't know. So if you bought a box for 4 shillings, you could make 8 shillings out of that box. But I could see a point of view going in there to, you know, and coming back out to reality, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, did she have favourite stars or?
I don't remember her ever saying no. I don't remember. I don't think so. Just like to get out and into the cinema and that was it. I don't remember having favourite films, favourite stars, anything like that.
Because I was wondering, I mean, with going so much, if you talked about films a lot at home or?
Didn't discuss them at all. But the places were just there and you went and that was, it was part of your normal life, really. For everybody's normal life, from you were a child, it was part of your normal life, like, even more so than the way you go to a church, you know, even more so. Although I was a Catholic at that time and you went to the Catholic church and you had to go to the Catholic church, went to the films more.
I mean, I was wondering about that as well. Mm-hmm. How the church saw movies or if they ever commented on it or?
They never ever, to my knowledge, I used to go, as I say, I was brought up a Catholic and I have no religion at all. And they never ever commented on films and never said don't go to this one or don't go to that one. Funnily enough, they never did.
I really was wondering about that because it sounded like something that they might have.
At that time, there was nothing bad in the films. There was a Hayes block that censored everything from America, and nothing got passed really. Nothing that you could flush it. Nothing that you couldn't take your children to really, which they did do. I can't remember anything. I mean, when we first got the television and children would sit watching, I would feel embarrassed and I'd get up and turn it off, and the kids would laugh. You know, maybe about 10, 12. Didn't have to turn that off, Mum, but I was embarrassed for them. And I got up to, there was nothing like that in the cinema. Nothing that you felt embarrassed for. You know, it was very well censored, I'll say. Which isn't in the day, I don't think, is it? No.
No,
except for these ones that were, there was always these ones in, I think it, I'm not just sure of name, I think it was the Grand Central, but I wouldn't have swept it. Up from Arnis, on the other side, and it's still there, I think, as far as the people with the dirty raincoats, I don't know why they all were supposed to wear dirty raincoats. There was always these about, laterally.
Right. But, I mean, as far as the northern house as well, I mean, did you talk with them about, talk with films with your pals later when you went, or?
I suppose we must have, but I can't really remember, you know, discussing it. Even when you came out and life started again, I don't think you really did discuss them much, funnily enough.
Aye.
You know, but as I say, unless it was something like Little Nellie Kelly, but she was...
That was funny. Can you tell me a bit more about that? Because again, it's not a movie that I've come across myself.
Wish I could remember. We did finally, she had went to the trade, she'd been on the trade show, so, and then we did finally hire it, and it did last a fortnight. It's been on until, I'm quite sure I've got that too, I'm quite sure. I'll look them up.
Can I pour you another one too?
A wee half cup, please.
Right.
I like drinking tea. That's
me
fine.
Too.
That's a pity. Up until this point, my memory was really very good.
Oh,
but I've had a rotten year now, and then out of the hospital, that it seems to have knocked my memory back too. I get so annoyed now. Up until then, I could remember absolutely everything. And now I suddenly realise I'm not remembering that. I lost the first baby when I was 7 months. And, you know, yesterday I was saying, what hospital did I have that in? And would you ever have thought you'd have forgotten what hospital? I finally realised it was the Royal Maternity. I don't know if it's still there. But I couldn't believe that I'd even forgotten that. Whatever these illnesses were, it didn't have knocked back my memory. It's not as good. It's not as good.
I would say you had a very good memory. Oh, no, it's good as yourself.
Yeah. No, it's good, and it's only this year it's happened, funnily enough. So that's a pity. You've got me at the wrong time. You've got me last year.
Not at all. I mean, another thing I was wanting to ask about was the local cinemas. I mean, you mentioned a few more just now.
Oh, I could try and, if you want to write them down, I wish I could remember better. The ones in the gorbals are you thinking about? Right, if you want to write down. Mind you, this book names them all.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a pity because I'm so annoyed at that. I can't remember. It was just a wee paperback thing. And probably it was George that he buys all the ones for Glasgow and the Gorbals and England. It was they starting, where will we start? Eglinton Street, you got the BB Cinerama. Well, what were we up? And you got the Coliseum. Now, I'm not just sure of their streets, it was round about Eglinton Street, but I wouldn't swear that was Eglinton Street. I'm trying to think, see, I'm even forgetting about the Gorbals. You came along, it was in. Oh, this definitely was in Eglinton Street. It was called the EE's, the Electric Cinema. And everybody just called it the EE. These other two, like the Coliseum and the BB Cinerama, I'm not just sure the street they were in, but they were near Eglinton Street. You came along and you came to Crown Street and there was a Crownie, the Crown Cinema. We called it the Crownie. You came along a bit further. You came to Cumberland Street and there was a Paragon in Cumberland Street. And then you came along to Longmoor Street, which had been South Wellington Street. And you came to the Bees. Now that wasn't the right name, and I can't... the Wellington Cinema, that was the right name. Everybody called it the Bees. And you came along to going to Oatlands and you came to the Ritz Cinema. That was at the corner of Latter Street. Just at the top, the Oatlands, Rutherglen Road, sorry, it wasn't Ballard Street, it was Rutherglen Road. I'm trying to think if I missed any out for you. Probably have missed about half a dozen.
I mean, you mentioned the Princess the last time, was that?
No, that was the review, that was the...
Right, I see. I mean, that's a lot, I mean...
I'm trying to think, I was just in a couple of streets.
Really.
And I'm sure I've missed them out.
You mentioned that one, the Electric Cinema.
I don't know why they called it that. That was Eglinton, that definitely was in Eglinton Street. Now these other two, the Coliseum and the BB Cinema, it wasn't Eglinton Street and I can't remember which street it was. It's so annoying. I'm trying to think. It was near Gorbals Close, a bit beyond. God, I can't remember. They were upmarket, they were a bit dear to get. I think maybe the rest were fourpence, they were sixpence, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
I'm trying to think if I missed any out for you. Probably have. My memory's not as good today as it even was yesterday.
So, I mean, that you're saying the BBC Cinerama and the Coliseum were the sort of upmarket
ones? They were upmarket ones for that district, definitely. Right. The Paragon and the Bees and the Crownie. That was the one I think I told you about last week. The Crownie was the one that made all the kids sit in the front row and they were right under the screen and your night was so... You always came out with so night, but you always went because it obviously was cheap. And I don't know, they probably showed all these... He wanted you to keep the cereals, you know? I know that we kept going with it, it was different though.
Because I meant to ask you about that as well. I mean, did you go to these, the matinees then, cereals? Or?
No, we went at night, The only matinees was the... In fact, these other, a lot of these cinemas only opened at night in the Gorbals. Didn't open during the day. The New Star opened during the day. The likes of the Coliseum opened during the day. The likes of these, the Paragon and the Bees and places like that, they only opened at night. You know, maybe from the, maybe one show only, two shows at the most. They didn't open during the day.
That's
so
interesting, because I mean, the ones in town must have been open.
Mm-hmm. They opened all, as I say, even in at 1 o'clock. Started at 1:30 and went until 11 o'clock at night. Mm. And your early night was 9:30. That was a long, long day, wasn't it? And as I say now, I know you were in among all that smoke and everything. And you don't know what happened.
Yeah,
you wanted to know these things. You wanted to know. But it's sort of nothing with the uniforms. I don't know whatever happened. I did get some pictures taken, but it's in my mother's house. And I really don't know who got them at the end of it all, you know.
I mean, these ones that you were showing, they were great. And
they were just from the Star, you know. They're just the one. So that was the one, the Orient, the Star, you know, they're all connected.
Right.
The Kelvin, they're all connected.
Right.
Ah, what was the other one? In the New Party. That's four I've got for you, isn't it? Is that four?
Oh, the other ones will come back when you expect
them. I know, when you know it. I'm really annoyed. I'm also feeling that I've missed you out a few in the Gorbals. The Greens. You know the Greens Playhouse?
Right.
Well, it's what they called the Greens, just at Gorbals Cross. That's another one. The Greens Cinema.
Right. What was that like?
It was their wee hall. It was just a wee hall. It was not a wee hall, but I mean, it was a downmarket, you know. That was the one, that was the very first one I remember going to, because we stayed in Ballater Street. That was a continuation of Ballater Street going towards Gorbals Cross. And it was maybe less than 5 minutes walk. And I remember going there when my brother and I, wee things. On your own you went, like in the Saturday matinee. Just wee things, I remember going. And that was the first hall I went to the Greens. But that was just called the Greens.
Was it run by the same people?
It was the same people who owned it. We just knew it as the Greens, there was no other name to it.
Right.
So that was that one. I'm trying to think, is there anything else? I feel I've missed you out a lot. And that book names everyone, except I had a couple that didn't name, but I had a couple that I didn't know.
So did you take your wee brother then when you were...
Well, I was the eldest in the family, and you were shunted with anybody to get them out the road. When I think it, were we thing? I mean, I must have been going to that matinee in the Greens when I was about four, and you'd be two on your own.
Right.
You wouldn't believe that. The places you went on your own.
Did you feel, I mean, was there a sort of sense of community then in the Gorbals? Did you feel quite, I mean...
You never felt afraid, that's true. I never ever remember feeling afraid the way you would do now. You just didn't.
Yeah.
There was nothing like that. You never felt you were going to get hit or mugged or murdered.
Because your parents must have felt quite safe to let you...
Well, you even went across from Ballater Street where, as I told you, it's that nautical college is at the corner now. And it was just beyond that. Where I was born, and I remember a girl taking me, she'd be 6 months older than me, taking me across to the People's Palace in the Glasgow Green, and that would be somewhere about 5 years old, and that was
quite
the first thing, I know. You just went everywhere, and you know, no matter how small, and nobody, I think they were just always glad to get rid of you, just you weren't there, you know.
I mean, it's interesting that, because it's like, when you talk about this, it sounds very different from the sort of childhood that people have today, really.
Well, I suppose looking back now, it's quite frightening when you think You mean you were taken to the landing? Somebody done me a really good favour. They took me to the place they give you out free books, and this was the library, and McNeil Street, that was in, along Rutherglen Road, and that was before the Gorbals Library was built. They built the Gorbals Library when I was 17. It's now knocked down, and as I say, that was the only library there was. This wee one was just a wee one. And after that, of course, that was me. It was books all the time.
Did you just read everything? Everything.
Oh, funny things. Who was the one about Down and Out in London? Who wrote that now?
George Orwell.
Ah, that was. I was only a young lad when I got that one out. Somewhere about 14. I mean, this was the kind of things you didn't know what you were taking. You just took a book. And I would read the first part, you know, read the first bit, and if I sort of fancied, oh, that's great. I remember reading that many, many, just when I was young, very young.
It's very advanced book.
I know, it wasn't half. Right. It wasn't half.
Is that, I mean, I was interested as well when you were talking about, you know, you've been to Russia, and, I mean, were you interested when you were that sort of age in things like watching the news?
When did I become politically minded? I'm trying to think. I suppose it was only right that you should become politically minded living in the Gorbals and under these hardships. I just can't remember when it hit me. I remember when, it must have been quite late on, because there was the, in the Gorbals, I don't know if I mentioned the last time, in our close it was all Lithuanians from Lithuania, and they came across and they, oh God, they'd had lives. First of all, they did a wee house, just what we had. I don't know if I said last time about them taking washings across to the wash house. There was a communal wash house across the road from us on Rutherglen Road, just across from Camden Street. And the granny would come and the family would come. And the grannies, everybody worked, and the grannies would take washings, your washing, anybody could afford. Only the dogs, the ones, the bookies and things like that could afford it. They would take the washings across to the steamy, the old steamy, and do the washings, and that was what they made their money on. And something I was going to tell you there. About being politically minded. I think I told you about that building bulging out, and all of a sudden we all had to go out and go to Maryhill. And this one of the lasses, I started falling out with one of these lasses from Lithuania, but she was born here, you know. And I remember her saying her father was a communist. And she used to go around telling people her father was a communist. She should keep that a secret. She shouldn't tell people that. Even in those days, you were really brainwashed. She should keep that a secret. So I wasn't politically minded then. I don't know when I became politically minded. Right. I did go to Russia 6 times. Now, how did it come about the first time? The first time it was Patricia's boyfriend's mother had booked. There was a cruise going to Russia. And she booked and she said it was a travel fair up the town somewhere. And she said, we're going to book this cruise. You want to come? And it was for the fair fortnight. And I said, if I can't, no point in me going. Because my husband was a maintenance engineer. When the place shut down, United Biscuits, well, it was McDonald's at that time, when it shut down, that was when the maintenance engineers had to overhaul the machinery, so they never ever got the fare for now. So I said, I will go anyway with you. So when I finally did go, a woman I'm quite friendly with now was behind the counter selling the Russian cruises. So she said, oh, you can put yourself down for you don't have to take it, but you can put your name down anyway. I said, okay, well, put my name down for me and my husband. So when we did come back, I phoned up and said to his, I don't know if I told you this last time, that it was our wedding anniversary, but it was actually the following year, and they let him off for that fortnight, and that's the first visit to Russia, and that was quite good. It was Leningrad and Moscow. But since then, I've been to Armenia, Kiev, all over. So we kept going back every year, and they said that eventually it was they had trade union holidays we discovered, so you didn't have to be in a trade union, but the trade union were running holidays from here, so you went to their sanatoriums when you got there, just nice big hotels, you know, where they had their sanity, their places for their sick people, like if you needed a holiday, you're working in the town, they sent you to Sochi and places like that, Black Sea, so that's where we eventually. It was good to have a great. I'm going to show you this. I'm going to show you this. But all these dolls are full, but this is the best one.
They're really lovely.
These are just beautiful. They would always give you some wee things out there and go, what's the new beer? Try this one, wait till you see it.
Oh, it's huge.
Just keep going and keep, I'll leave you some put it out.
You finished with your tea, I went and took it away. Are you sure?
Yeah, that was lovely. Thanks.
I'll take these away and give you some room to get them out.
Right. That's my husband.
They're so pretty, aren't they?
And I've got two icons, and I wonder if they're worth money. Mm.
Well, I'll talk about it later.
It just keeps going. I think this stall doesn't look like it's going to end for some reason.
That's what good with.
Seven already. Eight. Nine. Oh my. It's incredible. Ten. So another one still to go. Surely that must be.
No.
It's never ends. Oh. So that's really amazing. I've never seen one with so many bits in it. Twelve dolls, that's amazing.
Look at that funny view in
it. Oh, that's
so sweet.
It's really
sweet.
Where did this one come from?
God, I can't remember where I bought that. Can't remember.
You just bought them anyway.
It's just lovely.
What I did bring back to you, and I just gave it away about a fortnight ago with amber necklaces. And they finish up, I had them all in the drawer, I never used them. And they finish up, I thought, what am I keeping them for? Must have been, I thought, there was a lot of them. So I gave them to my granddaughter. She's just 12, 13. Mm. And I thought, I'll give them to her. So I don't know if she'll ever use them. But
That was
the things I brought back.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
It's amazing, it really is. Yeah. It's got lovely, I mean, the wee faces are so lovely as well. It's really nice.
Well, I liked Russia. There may have been a whole lot of things hidden in it, I just don't know. I didn't find anything. And what you didn't find, and you're finding it now, this is me out of breath, you're finding it now, is that the kids are sleeping in the streets, and things like that. And I always remember saying, I think I told you about Professor, and I said to him, he worked here, but he went out there quite a lot, and I said, if you ever see any children neglected or sleeping in the streets, I'll stop believing. And he says, I've never seen it. And the children were all well looked after, well educated. If you go into a school, greet you in English, and you could leave your stuff, you never had to lock anything up. Whether there was a lot, until you get perfect people, you're not going to get a perfect system, is the way I see it. And probably there was a lot of hidden. But I think it was a lot better than it is now. Honest,
yeah.
I really think so. I really think so.
Yeah.
The old people paid very little for rent, very little for their food. The basics were cheap, and the rents were cheap, and the heating was cheap. If you wanted anything different, a wee bit different, then you paid sky high. And I think the young people always wanted what they... I think the worst part was letting the tourists in. They would see the American tourists with all these things that they couldn't get, because they made the basics first, and the luxuries came second. And of course they would see all this, and they began to get, I think, dissatisfied, you know. So,
yeah, I see. Yeah.
And I can see that, I mean, say nothing's perfect.
Yeah.
But what I found was, I liked what I did see, and that was six things, you know.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that crossed my mind when you were telling me about, you know, the union trip and everything was, I mean, were you in a union yourself when you were in
my husband owned...
When you were working in cinemas?
Nobody ever asked you to join a union.
No.
No, never, never. And I think that was needed when you're thinking it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was needed. But nobody ever came to say about a union or a thing. I don't ever remember being in a union in my life, to tell you the honest truth. Even in the Rolls Royce, I don't remember. Don't remember if my husband was in a union either.
But it's interesting.
Funnily enough.
I mean, there must have been so many people working in the cinemas. And
yet there was no... There was a union. Nobody ever asked you to join in. There was a union, I'm trying to think of the name of it now. There was a union. But nobody bothered to come around the cinemas to try and get supporters or anything like that, you know?
I mean, that's interesting in itself. I mean,
it's
say, I wasn't politically aware. I don't know when I became politically aware. Probably somewhere about, I feel I was in the Rolls Royce for some strange reason.
Yeah.
Don't know what I do, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
Don't know why. Probably older and wiser, or less wiser, I don't know. What
yeah.
I
yeah. I mean, I wonder, as well, I was wondering while you were talking about the sort of less fancy cinemas in the Gorbals. I mean, was there ever anything like, I mean, did the films always run smoothly or were there ever any
breakdowns?
There
was breakdowns, and when there was breakdowns, as I say, they got a terrible time of it, shouting and bawling and carrying on. Oh, yeah, there was that. And there was a, I don't know if you noticed, even yet, still, there's a wee thing in the corner of the, when I'm watching the films on the TV, and I said to Trish, that's a changeover. What do you mean? There's a wee thing in the corner, and this projectionist would see this wee thing. It was all reels, you see, the 4 or 5 big reels to show the film. And as soon as we saw this wee thing in the corner, and you'll still see it, something, they knew to be ready for the changeover. So then you'd see the second one, and the scene would change because that was a new reel getting in. So normally, if you watch for that,
right.
it's always in the right hand corner, up at the top.
Yeah.
If you've seen the old films, watch for that. That was a changeover. Oh, that's a changeover.
That's interesting. So, I mean, did you watch the films a lot when you were working?
Not really. You were up and down, you know, especially in the Regal, like they were coming in from 1:30 in the day to 11 at night. You were sitting in a funny wee seat. Say that was the passage going into the
right.
All the seats. You had a wee tiny seat and it was a wee stool, but when you got up, it went up against the wall. So you were up and down in that wee seat. Just, you know, as soon as somebody came in, just at the door, you had to get the torch and take them down to... and fill up that side and then that side, and then, you know, so that was a degrading job.
So, I mean, they were coming in and out, right?
All day until, as I say, about 9:30 at night when the cash box shut. That's when you get away if it was your early night.
So you were really on the go all the time.
Yeah. Couldn't you do that now? As well, seeing the cigarettes go to me, but I never smoked in my life. Completely with that in my hand all the time now, it's there. It really is. I just walk into the room and I'm restless,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Very, very seldom out. I go out once a week to the shopping centre, but I didn't get this week.
Yeah.
And I thought if it was as bad as yesterday and the day before, I was going to say to you, make another day, it's right
yeah,
for you
sure.
To come out. Was
sure.
It okay for you the day?
Fine, I mean.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought, I couldn't have thought to come in daily, you know.
Well,
like
yesterday it was.
You couldn't have done it on Saturday.
No.
So that was my days to the shopping centre. I said to Maureen, she came on Saturday, I said, well, couldn't you go out today? You couldn't even walk from your car to where the, you know, to get into the Pollock shopping centre.
Yeah.
I says, we'll leave it till tomorrow, because Sunday was as bad.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, just forget it. So she brought me a few messages a day.
Yeah. I mean, are you all right? Talking just now, or
this is the way I'm at all the time.
Right, right.
Some days a wee bit better than others, but
because I mean I don't want to.
No, I want you. I'd probably just as well 100%. I would overtalk. So, what do you want to ask, Valentina? Is there anything you'd like to?
Well, there's another thing I wanted to ask about. Was you mentioned the dance halls and the Gorbals?
They were almost as there was as many of them as there was. Do you want to ask about them? There was Diamonds Dancing Academy at Gorbals Cross, I think I told you about that. There was a Princess, that was the review place, you know, live shows. There was a place in the middle, Diamonds Dancing Academy, and then there was the Palace. Oh, that was another one you didn't put down right at Gorbals
Right,
the Palace Cinema. That was right at Gorbals Cross and Gorbals Street.
What was that like?
The Palace. I think it was a wee bit upmarket. I think that was sixpence as against fours. So if it was sixpence, it was upmarket. So that was the Diamonds Dancing. That's where you get taught. And funnily enough, let's talk about the gangs in the 30s and that. I honestly didn't see anything out of place. I don't remember a house getting robbed. Talking about that, my neighbour upstairs was robbed after you were here. Now wait to hear this. She's got a wee bathroom if you want to come through and see. She's got tiny wee windows. You want to come through and see?
Okay.
I was attempted to draw.
After being all over the place.
in quite a lot of noise. And I thought, oh, she gets up and she's just an old lady upstairs. So.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, she gets up and she wanders about. And I thought it was her. And I thought, no, the noise is getting a wee bit loud, it's not her. So I got up and I put on the kitchenette light. I heard nothing, saw nothing, went back to bed. And the next morning when I got up and opened the back door, there was a bit of stick across the back door, hammered into my window, and I'd opened it about a few inches, and I'd opened the bathroom window,
yeah,
like that, but I don't know what happened. Mine just, you know, double glazing, so
yeah,
whether that had stopped, I don't know.
Right,
so they didn't get in.
Someone.
But I was in the house, she was out, she's out, she's about 7 clubs, she's in, quite good, if I could do it, I'd do it. She's, she was out from 7 till 10:30, and in that time, and I'm sitting here watching the television, they were able to climb up, break the glass, and what they did, they threw it all into my drying green, and it was all over the drying green. And I said, oh, there'll be prints in that. But the police said, no, they'd wear gloves when they're breaking it. But this is the funny thing. 3 years ago, in the next block, the very same house as us, the woman went out on Christmas Day, and her son came for her, and she had lots of presents for her son's family that were going to somewhere else. And she said, you want your presents? No, I'll just leave them. I'll take them when I come back. The same type of robbery, up through the wee window, and all the presents were taken, and her pension books. And funnily enough, her pension book was taken too. But what can you do with a pension book if you've already lifted it? I don't know. I don't know.
Must have been
and
very
that was last week after you were here, and just before that across the road, that woman yesterday got a new alarm put outside, just across the road. So you never get that in the Gorbals. You never get that in the Gorbals. I don't remember a house being robbed in the Gorbals. As I say, I do remember a few meters being broken into, but probably the people themselves was prepayment meters.
Yeah.
And if they were hammed up, it was... but I don't remember. They talk about the razor gang and that. I didn't see them. Maybe I was just lucky. Didn't see them or meet any gangs. There was a beehive in the Beehive. I think I told you about that. The Beehive gang was in the... the Beehive was the name of a shop that sold wool in Cumberland Street. So they all hung about this corner. So they were called the Beehive Gang. Don't remember them doing any damage. And then there was weird ones and they were called the Beehive because they were young. I don't remember them doing anything really.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the main one in the Gorbals, the Beehive Gang, as I say, I don't remember a thing.
It doesn't sound very threatening, does it? Named after a wool shop.
Wool shop. Just round the windows of the wool shop that hung up there.
I mean, did you ever see sort of fist fights and things? Or?
I don't remember ever seeing anything. Lots of shouting matches with women, you know, living on top of each other the way they did. There was lots of that, but never came to blows, funnily enough. I don't even remember seeing the police about very much, even. You know, it's weird. Not the way you see them now, the police are here every because it's all
well. It's
I wonder if it's the same crowd that's doing the burglaries here, I just don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know. But that's 3 years ago, the very same kind of, in the next block, the very same as what happened to her. How did they get in that wee window? They must go in like a nail.
It's hard to imagine.
And then they took out her video.
Yeah.
And she says they didn't come down the front door, so all of them must have went out that wee window again. And her video went and money. And jewellery, she's an awful woman for jewellery, and she always said, don't leave my jewellery, carry it about in my handbag. But whether she said a lot of jewellery was taken this time.
Yeah.
So, luckily, as her, said, you'll never get robbed for your jewellery, I haven't got any, and really that amber, get rid of it smartly.
I mean, you've got some lovely things, so I mean, this is great.
Oh, I'll show you my account if I can get them all.
That would be nice. I'll put this back together, actually.
Is that much junk in here? I don't know where to start. What is that? Oh, I was a nursery nurse. I was at 53, I became a nursery nurse. 53. Oh, and I got an A. That's the one who Trisha was telling you
about.
Oh,
that's right, yes.
And I was a nursery nurse.
So did you work in nursery nursing for a while then?
I did, for 2 years.
Ah, I see.
That's from St. Luke's School in
Gorbals.
This
is your report card, is it?
When I left the school, I actually didn't get a secondary education.
Right.
That was the primary school. You stayed there till you were 14 and you went to a part It was known as the Advanced Division.
Right.
For 2 years, when you were 12, you sat the, what was it, the, oh God, what did they call it? Ah, see, this is where my memory goes now. You sat an examination, and normally you'd go to a high school or something. I got a, I was getting free to this convent school up at Bridgeton, but it was meant books and it meant uniform, and my mother couldn't see her way to do it. She was a gambler. She gambled, so she couldn't see her way to do it. So you just stayed on here for 2 years. And this is what you got to the end of it.
So this is like a sort of reading certificate?
I was leaving,
Right, I see. And I see your subjects were English, history, geography, arithmetic, cookery, housework.
Aye, all the things that you were going to be servants, obviously.
Yes.
Housewifery was how to clean a house. Right. Me. If you notice that, that was really one-sided, wasn't it? When you're thinking of what you were going to be.
Yeah, physical training and distinction in English. And no, your geometry and algebra scored out.
Aye, so you didn't get that. I haven't a clue about these things. When your questions are like the questions. And
it is interesting, as you say. I mean, very much.
You were biased, Biased towards just, you were just going to be a housewife, if you were lucky, or a servant if you were unlucky.
So that's 1934 then? You
that's when
school.
I left.
Yeah.
I was actually 14 in November of 33, and I remember my mother going daft because I had to stay, you know, it was leaving dates, and she was missing out and all. This was great, I was going to be the first to get a job, you know, and she was nabbed about this 4 or 5 weeks more than this she'd.
I mean, when you did get your first job, I mean, did you give most of your wages to your family?
Oh, you did. I think it was. I think I told you the first job was 25 pence, 5 shillings, and I don't know much. I gave most. So as I say, I think that's how I got the job that day, because I'm standing with all my stuff like this, and I was 10 years old waiting in a job, and I'm standing with my stuff like this, and he said up the stair, and I think I told you about the glass.
That's right.
So that was that.
Mind you, I suppose the amount of money was
that's where I won a prize, the first prize. This was all the prizes.
What is 1932 to 3 for general excellence.
Never got anywhere. That was when I was 53, I won these 2 badges for swimming.
That's amazing.
I was alongside college.
Swimmer.
I didn't even to show you other statistics. If something tells you that I became a nursery or somewhere, I don't know what half the things are. So I became a nursery nurse. And then my husband took ill and I couldn't practice. And I liked the kids and all. That's not what I went in to show you though. I'll tell you a few about these two.
These are the icons.
These are lovely. It's a 15th century one, I think. I'll tell you where I got that. When we came back from the cruise, this crowd that got us on to go on the cruise said, oh, there's a Russian Friendship Society, Scottish Friendship. What about going? So we started going to it. So they had a jumble one day, and the chap was selling this and this. Women, funnily enough, I met paints the pictures of a wee tale to tell you about him. A sad tale, just lately. She says, there's an icon over there. It's going for £5. I said, never seen an icon, don't know what it's like. I must go and see it. So when I got over there, he's breaking it down to half a crown for somebody. So he said, is that an icon? Must see it. Never seen an icon. Much is it? He says, £5. I said, you just have to say half a crown. All right, half a crown. So I got it for half a crown.
It's a beauty, I like this bed.
So there's another tale. So that one there, that's another icon. And my husband got that one.
Can I?
Aye.
This is lovely as well, with metal casing on it.
So Sotheby's came to Glasgow and were valuing things. So we decided to take our icons up. And mine's was worth, between the two of them at that time, this is about 20 years ago, they were worth £400 between the two of them. But he says, we don't deal in icons, take them to Christie's. Well, Christie's was just up the road, but we've never ever got around to going to Christie's. We never got around. keep saying the girl's going to take them up and see what they're worth.
Aye. But nobody will. Probably a bit more than that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. They'll either be worth a lot or worthless now, yes, because the icons might be getting out, and maybe they weren't at that time. I just don't know. It's either good or bad, you know.
Yeah. But they're lovely things anyway, aren't
they? Unusual, aren't they? They're really unusual. So I was going to tell you about these two. That was the girl I told you I met on. I stole her bed that night on the from Moscow to Lenin. Well, she's written me three letters last week, and one was that her husband was in the hospital, and then it was pretty bad. And then I thought I'd phone her on Saturday, stay at Castle Douglas. So I phoned on Saturday. She says he's out and he's in the cottage hospital now, but he's not coming home. Yeah, and that's the chap that painted these. She says, it's past handling. She had fallen in the bath. Yeah. He couldn't get out. He'd been falling all the time. He'd fallen and had to lie till her daughter came, and she can't handle him anymore. So that was really sad. I felt sad because he was such a... He had this wee silver factory maybe for working for him. Such a talented man. And these pictures are just his throwouts. As I said, and we should have got better frames. And that was a nice barbecue we had. It took us to Czechoslovakia because he wanted a co-driver.
Yeah.
And that was and while we were having our barbecue, he was paying. So it's sad that...
It's a shame.
He doesn't know. Sad. That was a sad letter, then. You know, it really felt terrible. It wasn't the letter, it was on the telephone. She said he's not coming home. She's 81 herself, so... It's sad, though, isn't it? Sad.
Yeah. It is.
You see the pictures in his daughter's house, and his son was gifted too. His son's got to be a factory now in Uist. And he used to do one of my daughters, one of her sitting in Olke, it was really nice. She's got it up in the attic. And it's really nice, you know. They were a talented family, they really were.
Right.
It's a shame, and lovely silverware, jewellery. The son's doing very well. He's got a Porsche, and his wife's got a Porsche, and he's bought a business. He's got his factory in South Uist. He's got his house in South Uist. He's got his shop all together, and he's now bought one in Fort William, a shop and a house above it. So he's really doing well. That's getting away from your cinema.
I'm getting away from the subject. Interesting though. I was wanting to ask you another thing about the picture houses in town, because you mentioned some, and we've mentioned some again just now, like the Regal and places like La Scala.
La Scala was on the, across the road, there was, in Sucky Hall Street, there was the picture house, that's now at the Savoy Centre.
Yeah.
And facing it was the La Scala, and beyond was the Regal.
Right.
And round the corner was the new Savoy Cinema, and the Playhouse across the road from it. These were all together.
Right.
And I'm trying to think. Down the road, past the Odeon, there was the Odeon, but that was the Paramount when it started. It started with a Bing Crosby film. We're Not Dressing. It opened, the Paramount when it opened was weird. I remember that. And it was a Bing Crosby. Yeah, that was the first film they showed. And down from that was the Regent. And that's, I'm trying to think, was there any more? Then there was the Grand Central. I don't know. Can't think anymore. It's wrong because my memory used to be so clear.
I mean, you were saying that you went there more when you were going with your friends as you got a bit older.
I never ever went to the ones in the town. Not until I worked.
Right.
Never ever went to the one. They were too dear. I mean, a shilling was a lot of money, as I say, when you could get three times for fourpence.
Yeah.
You know, fourpence, it was a lot. So I never ever found out what like these cinemas were till I finally worked in them.
Right. I mean, how did you feel going into a cinema like that? Was it different from going into the local ones? Or?
Oh yeah, very much so. As I say, they had their restaurants. They were big places that had their restaurants, and as I told you, you could get your order just as you're going and saying, I would like so-and-so, we'd get the waitress, take her order, and your tray would come down into your seat, wherever you were sitting. And as I told you, the last gala, half of that was, and not half of it, one side was the restaurant.
Yeah.
And the wee lamps, so you could see what you were eating. And Trisha said, that would be wonderful, but it was a clatter. You couldn't enjoy the people clattering dishes and things, you know?
Yeah. Because, I mean, when you're talking about, you know, how your mother felt going to cinema, I mean, I can imagine going to one like that, you must have felt like...
Different.
Different.
Yeah. But as I say, the first time I was ever in was when I got the job. It was the first time I was ever in one of these up the town. And the one I'd like to have worked in was what was known as the Paramount then. That was the one. That was the one. That's the Odeon now. That was the one I'd like to have worked in. And nearly got the job and don't know what happened, didn't they get?
So was that like the top
cinema? That was the top cinema, I thought so.
And another thing I was wanting to ask about was someone was telling me about some of the big bands playing in the cinemas, like I think it was maybe the Olympia had bands in it too. I don't know if the ones that you went to.
No, I don't ever remember the big band. Yeah. The Playhouse, not in the cinema. The big bands came to the Playhouse dance, you know, the part that was a ballroom, but they never ever came to the cinema.
Right.
You had the organs that came up.
Yeah.
Gerald Shaw played in the Regal. And Frank Olsen played in the Picture House, and he had these. That was all I ever knew.
Yeah.
Was the both of the organs came up? They were nice, you know, all lit up, and they were really good. Should have kept them. They were nice. And you didn't see much of them. They only came in to play the organ anyway again. You know?
Yeah.
Didn't see them much.
I mean, it sounds almost, you know, when you're describing it, like going into a different world.
It really was. I think, and it was needed. I think that there'd have been a revolution here if it hadn't been for the cinemas. Honest. I mean, it kept people's mind off other things, really. You know, when you think of the 30s, it was called the Hungry 30s. And what makes me mad is they were the biggest empire in the world at that time. And where was the crumbs going? That they couldn't bring it to their own people and make them rich. It was really unfair. You didn't want to live in the backs of the blacks. But where did it go?
Right.
Where did this huge empire go? It was taking all the goods out of every other country. It wasn't coming into their own country.
Yeah.
Definitely wasn't, because there was hungry people even in England, you know, they were hungry 30s. It was the same situation.
Do you think that the films of the time
made it political?
Or brought out these sort of points?
Were you aware
of it at the time?
No, it was no politics.
Yeah.
There was nothing that was political for them. As I said, I don't know when I became... It definitely wasn't, because as I said, I was about 17 or 18 when she kept saying, my father's a communist, drowning my brain saying, she shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
You know, so I wasn't politically minded then at all.
Right. Did you ever go to the Cosmo?
I remember when it was built. I was in the Regal when it was built, and somebody got a job in it from, and we quite envied her on the way into this new cinema, you know? Quite envied her.
Right.
I went to the Cosmo a few times, but that was after I was married.
Right. So not actually during the 30s?
Not during the 30s, no.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't during the 30s, no, I wasn't married to the 40s.
Yeah. I mean, do you think there was a change from the films that you were going to see when you were
in
working
the 30s,
in cinemas to when you were
in the 40s? Yeah, I think they began to change.
Yeah.
I think they began. There was always good stories in the 30s, even yet. We went up the stairs and we put it on if it's a black and white film. And I'll say, but the stories are better, and I honestly think. And they seemed to go on at a merry pace. There was no, they didn't lag. Whereas now, if I'm watching a modern to me on the telly, find your mind wandering and your mind's away elsewhere. It might be old age, but I think actually they just don't hold your interest. They had a gift, Hollywood had a gift for films, there was no two ways about it. They said there was that many nationalities went over to America that they got the best people to, you know, in the cinema business, probably was, and there were some good actors. I saw Edward G. Robinson on yesterday, but I didn't get seen the film. Somebody came in, Edward G. and somebody else. Kyle Garcia, I mean, that was only yesterday. I can't remember who the other one was. In my mind, I really get annoyed at this.
I mean, was Edward G. Robinson one of your favourites, or?
Yeah, I thought he was good.
Yeah.
I thought he was a good actor.
That reminds me, actually, just when we're talking about the stars, we found this book in one of the second-hand shops near us that I thought you might like to see. I just brought it along.
Did it have a wee look at it that
day, so you could have a look
now
at it.
Now, what did I do with my glasses? Did you notice? I always get lost.
There was then a minute ago.
I always get lost.
This is one of the Daily Express film books of the...
Yeah.
I think it's 1938 or something.
Put that fire on, wait, and off the door. That's a great thing. That's a great find, isn't it?
Aye, it's
that's
really
a great
really pleased
find.
With it. So I thought you might like to see that, anyway.
Well, that was the director. He was a... Director, I is a director, that's right. I'll just skate through it as quick as I
can.
The lasses are love that you on your skate. I remember there's a lot of the gorble scenes still. I'm trying to get it.
Did you ever
get Claudette Colbert? Him, Charles Ruggles, I'm just, I remember him, but I wouldn't have picked him out. He's on, it's French. Maurice Chevalier. Gina McDonald.
Did you like
he's on. He's on this week.
Is he?
Aye, he's on. They were telling me there. Trying to think what it is. It's either Christmas week, we're giving you a whole pile of films and he's in one.
I need to look out for that. Did you like Maurice Chevalier yourself?
Nah, not really.
Aye.
Keith Francis. He had not much longer. Gary Cooper. I'm reading these now. Try to think. Ginger Rogers. I didn't read her.
Did you like Ginger Rogers?
I did like her, aye. I did.
Because I went, you know, when you were saying that you liked Bing Crosby, I thought.
I didn't know these two at all.
Didn't you know her? Did you?
Him, I didn't know, aye.
Did you like the sort of the second features in the B movies and that, or was it the.
What time is it? Oh, it's my neighbour. Oh, it's maybe George. No, it can't be. I've known her 40 years. I've known the other one 40 years. The other one gets her prescriptions, gets her pension. She only has to get my pension to see how much I got, and she never offers to do another thing. And a very selfish woman. And I don't like doing this. She just comes in whenever it suits her. So I just told her to go away.
Well, as long as I'm not interrupting
her. She's a baddie. If it had been a goodie, I'd tell her, I'd have told her to come in. And that's from the films, the goodies. I noticed they're all back again, everybody's talking about goodies and baddies. I suppose it'll take too long to go through this. He was great in Henry VIII.
Charles Lawton.
I don't want to waste too much time. I don't remember her. I know their faces, but don't remember much.
Aye.
Sweet.
I mean, that's what I was thinking about when, you know, when the door went just now. I mean, did you enjoy the sort of second features in the B movies?
Sometimes they were the best. Sometimes they weren't, sometimes they weren't. But you did see the newsreel in two films and some adverts in between and sometimes a wee short comic. Oh, there was things on Pete. Somebody's Specialities was on, and that was from the 30s the other day. I was sitting there watching it, and it was quite, you know, strange things that happened. So if you ever see that, that's all right. From the 30s. Pete, somebody, these were just wee shots they used in between.
Right.
Jack Buchanan, I didn't like the British ones much. So he was wrong. Said he was born in Glasgow somewhere.
Oh.
And Stan, oh, my daughter had a wee fax book, you get Glasgow fax book. And he told you about Stan Laurel being born in the Gorbals, I think it was, and a bit about him, and there's a wee bits about cinema, but just know nothing much. It's all about different streets and things like that, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's the corporation that he sent out.
Did you like Stan Laurel?
I never liked these two. I mean, a lot of people laughed at them. I was maybe very funny. I didn't laugh at things that other people laughed at. I really didn't.
What about Charlie Chaplin?
I didn't laugh at him either, even from when I was a kid. That was probably funny. Maybe too serious, I remember all then. That's a rare find, isn't it?
It is a rare find. Get a hold of that.
There's a lot I don't know, but there's a lot I do know.
Aye.
George Raft. Didn't like him either, funnily enough. He was a good actor, but I didn't detect him. Carol Lombard, there wasn't a struck her either. Joan Crawford. Her adopted daughter wrote a book about her afterwards, which wasn't very nice. That's great.
Well, I thought you might like to see that.
That's great. I'm sure you are, because...
Well, it's different.
Fair's fair.
I'd rather have a look at these sometimes.
I keep saying, I'm going to take them up with Christie's and see what he's that day, the two of us, we went to Sotheby's and then the other Fanny and we'll just go home. And someday we'll get up to Christie's, but we never did. Oh,
we never did.
He said they were worth 400 at that time. I think that was worth 250, and that was worth 150. And he said that one was, mine's was a 15th century.
It's amazing. It's, you know, the colours are so fresh and everything, aren't they? You never think it was as old as that, just from the way it looks. It's, but you can see it as well, but you know, it's in such good condition, it's amazing.
That woman that was there, I bet you any money, if I look at the newspaper now, what is it, it's on the day, she follows all the soaps, there's something on the day, and as soon as it's finished, she comes down, if she's nowhere better to go. I can't remember what's on the day, it's in America, no, it's landing.
Right.
And when I look, I say, bet you she's down when Knott's Landing's finished. Sure as fate, she comes when Knott, if she's not got anywhere, she's got lots of houses to go to. Somebody says she saves her electricity that way. So Knott's Landing must be finished.
Keep a track of the soaps by your neighbour.
And a clock of the soaps. I've never seen Coronation Street once. The only soap I didn't follow was Dallas, and I don't know how I got hooked in that. And I did start following, that's the only soap I've ever... The rest, EastEnders, everything, I've never seen one of them even, one additional, never once.
Of course, I mean, Dallas has got all the glamour, hasn't it?
Probably that's what it was, it was like the old cinema stuff.
Aye.
And that's what hooked me. And you don't want to see EastEnders about EastEnd, you don't want to see Coronation Street. I'm afraid it's more like, probably because it was brought up in the 30s, when you did go into the cinema it was glamour, and it was taken away from, and that's what you still want, and that's why I don't watch the soaps.
Aye.
Don't watch the soaps.
I mean, just looking through, I mean, over your shoulder there, looking at that book, I mean, some of these stars were quite something, weren't they?
Well, they really were. I suppose you could get the best at that time, you know? You'd never be looking for a job, and I suppose you could really pick them.
Yeah. I mean, how did you feel when you were seeing, I mean, someone like Joan Crawford and
you just accepted it. You didn't say, oh, look at them and look at me kind of thing. You just accepted it. And as I say, I started to like wearing black a lot. And it was somewhere, I was about 17 when I went into that cinema, and the star, and the, as I say, it was a mean article. If you got a black dress, I don't know any be blue in, but I did get a black one. If you got a black dress, well, we start wearing it, and sent for a collar from Woolworths, and you all wore the same collar out of Woolworths. And I would never have thought, from the goggles of wearing a black dress, then I began to think, oh, that's very smart. Ever afterwards, ever was black. I kind of think it was very smart, made you slimmer looking, at, you know. But it was funny that you were in. They did influence a lot of what you wore and things like that. Both working and watching the screen, you know.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, were you conscious of sort of imitating the styles of the stars?
You weren't conscious of it, but subconsciously, now when you look back and you say, you know, I think everybody did. And then the shop started. Turning out what they did see in the screen too, the styles.
Yeah.
They were nice styles in the 30s. Don't know if there's one there. I think I told you about the Guinea shop with the dresses, did I tell you that?
Yeah.
And it was really lovely styles, but a guinea was a lot of money. Because you got four dresses for a guinea in Marks. Like, did I tell you about sending the stuff to France from Marks? I've got friends everywhere, New Germany, France, you name it. Czechoslovakia, you name it. So, but, she'd taken us around or something in France and I felt I wanted to repair for something. So I went to Marks and I got a nice tartan skirt. It was a whole set, it was quite expensive, and the jumper and everything to go with it. And it was all together, and it was quite expensive, and I posted it off. And she said something, she sent back and she said something about, it didn't fit me, I sent it to my cousin. And then I discovered what was wrong. I think I told you about her coming over. Did I tell you that tale about her coming over during the war?
Yes, I think you did.
And at that time, Marks was cheap, and as I say, the dresses were for the Olympians. And she still thought of Marks and Spencer's being the same. So when this thing came with St. Michael, she didn't want to know.
Well, it cost you a fair bit more than £4.11 now, I think.
That was quite dear, actually.
Yeah.
And she didn't want to know about it because it's instant. And I never thought, you know, that years ago Marks had got a very, you know, very cheap.
Yeah.
As I say, if you get four dresses for the Guinness shop, you only get one.
I mean, of course, Glasgow's always had a good reputation for shopping, isn't it?
Of course. In a way, as I say, it's a ploy. And I often feel about my daughters. Poor people had no hobbies. You couldn't afford hobbies. So when you got any money, you went out to the shops. And I did trail them around the shops and see now, this is where they're now. At Macro at the moment, that's over in the estate there. And we'd go at Macro someday. Well, at Macro, Trisha had already been in the town, you'll see about stuff out there in the hall. And that's only Summit's in the bedroom. And I say I've made them shopaholics. I really have. And it's terrible. Capitalist ploy.
Oh. I'm not one to preach about that, I must say. I like buying
clothes. You're shopaholic too.
When I as much as I can.
I keep saying it. I shouldn't preach because, see, my wardrobe, the brass rail, it had all the stuff that's going like that. And my husband could fit absolutely everything. And I thought, this breaks, what do I do? I mean, this stuff's so heavy, there's so much. And I'll say, well, maybe go to the Pollock Shopping Centre and there'll be a blouse reduced. And I'll say, ach, well, it's no idea. If I wear it a couple of times, I've had my money. And of course, that goes into the wardrobe, and the wardrobe's like that. I don't get out, when I do go out, I overbuy.
Yeah.
You know? And just when I think it, and now I'm saying, you've only got one body when she's showing me all. She had about 4 pair of trousers a day. She had 3 tops. She had either 2 or 3 skirts. If she comes in, I must ask her. And that was only the start. I was only a couple of hours in the town. Because rather than get dropped here at 9 o'clock, you know, George works in the school, rather than get dropped at 9 o'clock, he dropped her, and I think he dropped her somewhere at the train at her place. She took the train into the town, had a couple of hours, and then came on here to meet Maureen. So that was only a couple of hours. There's at least 4 pair of trousers, 2 tops, 4 tops, 2 skirts, and there might be another skirt. If she comes in when you're here, I'll ask her to tell you what she bought. And wait till you see what they come out of the micro. Micro's the place that has got everything. I'm just in a way glad that my husband didn't discover it. Maureen had a card for years and years, and we never ever went. And then one day she decided she would go, and we went to cash out. I was with her. They said, oh, this card's out of date. It was pre-computer days. The card that she had doesn't even get into the computer. So they said, I will give you a new card. Since then, it's 2-3 times a week at Micros. It's not really very cheap. It sounds very cheap, but then it's such and such a price, and then VAT added on. Mm-hmm. And of course, when it's about roughly a pound to every £5 is added on, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're coming in with today. There's radios, it's like a lot of shops in one, really. Yeah. A lot of shops. So George had phoned up and said, they're coming at 3:30. I said, well, only been out at 1:30. I can't see. I know it's only up the road. I can't see them doing it in 2 hours. I can't see them getting round Micros in 2 hours. I can't blame myself. Good job I wasn't an alcoholic. Yeah. I blame myself.
Mind you, it's probably about as expensive, isn't it?
Probably more so.
Seems
so expensive. Probably more so. I'm digressing again. You asked what you asked.
I mean, I think I've asked more or less what I wanted to ask, but I'm sure now having heard, you know, the new things, I'm going to think of other things.
Well,
watch
for the changeover anyway. That meant that was.
I will do.
There's one, and then just shortly after there's the other one, and that's when they had to flick the and change over to the other reel.
Right,
and you do see a change in the film, you know, like, it's, you have to see it to explain it.
I will look out for that, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you picked up a lot about the technical side of things as well when you were...
That was one thing I was going to tell you. We never get into the projection box.
Oh,
in,
right.
But must have been horrible for them too. They were up in that wee tiny box, high above the balcony. Wee tiny wee squares cut out where the beam went through. And all that smoke must have come into them. I don't think anyone would live very long. You know, when you think it now, probably very few of them reached old age. I did see one, the boy that was a prisoner of war, I showed you his picture, didn't I?
Yeah.
I did see him in the paper, he died. That what was I going to say about it? Why? Women, they never ever taught the women how to use the projection box until the law, and it started calling them all off out, and of course they had to go, it wasn't a reserved occupation, so they had to go. And then they started putting women up in there. Projection boxes and teaching them then.
Mm-hmm.
So they taught a few then. It wasn't any, but they did teach a few to show the pictures. They picked tall ones, and funnily enough, the projectionists were all wee because they started off as page boys and they wanted wee boys, wee tiny boys for the page boys. And then if they were nice and they got on well with them and didn't they like giving them their books, and there was a place in the projection box, that's why they were all tiny, really all tiny up there. Under about 5 feet if they were lucky.
Right.
Mm.
But that's interesting. So it was something that women just didn't
get
the chance to
chance until the war. And then there was a few of them.
Yeah.
And the Regal there was a few. And the Picture House there was a few. I don't know where else. I don't know about the Star. I never went back there after a while. I used to go back for it, you know, and then I stopped going.
I take it there were no women cinema managers and things then either? Or?
There was one cinema manager. No, she was under a manager in the picture house.
Right.
That was the only one I ever knew. There was no cinema manager. The picture house had one.
I mean, it must have been very unusual, I mean, just generally to get women
in. You were absolutely nothing but an usherette or an odd secretary for the boss, an usherette or in the cash box, and that was it. Mm-hmm. That was it. Women had no chance at all.
Yeah.
Not being anything, as I say, and then they started showing them how to show up.
Yeah.
But it was, new, but the changeover was, the projectionist would maybe down talking to you. And he spied a wee thing, and then after and up was a changeover, you know.
Yeah.
So he'd get up in time to change over.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have been doing there in the first place.
Right. It sounds like the jobs were quite, you know, didn't really find out much about the other bits, or?
He didn't. The manager was the top boss, you know. And they called you Miss McWinnie and Miss O'Connor, it wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was Miss this and Miss that and Miss the next thing. In nearly all these cinemas, it was no first names.
Yeah.
They were very aloof, you know.
And were most of the staff, I mean, were the women staff mainly quite young? Cause
yes.
You'd imagine that once you got married, was that the end of
it? That was the end of it. There was, at the war, there was one girl who got married, but she married a doorman, and he was called up. And she, that's the only married woman I ever knew to be in this cinema. That was the only one.
Yeah.
They liked him young and I suppose attractive in those days.
I was thinking that when you showed me the picture.
I suppose that's what...
Yeah.
I had some pictures today and I didn't want... It was my birthday four days ago and that was me 75 and Maureen took pictures and she brought them today. I don't know what she's done with them. If she comes back, I'll let you see them. Don't ever take me again. I don't look in the mirror these days and... When I saw these pictures, I honestly don't know what I look like because I don't look in the mirror. And when I saw these pictures, don't ever take me again, don't ever take me, they're horrible, they're horrible.
I'm sure they weren't that bad.
My daughter said they were good. After she saw them, she came in and said, they're good. I said, don't ever show me.
I mean, these were lovely ones, so it was very good of you to lend us them. Yeah.
Oh, well, you were very good at bringing them back. I've lent things out, as I said, my wedding photographs that never came back. It was a shame. There was a group, there was a one big one of me, myself, and to this day, I remember a mother and a daughter sitting, and the daughter asking for the pictures, and I was right surprised, can I take these home? And I was quite surprised at this, and to this day, I don't know who I gave them to. I simply don't know. Mm. I haven't a clue, and I never got them back. It should have brought back away before taking them, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it
should have.
Something you can't replace.
But I did trust you.
Just as well. I got them back in one piece.
Okay. I'm getting to a stage now. Doesn't matter. I used to save up old coins and I'm giving them to Trish. I give the amber away to old coins, so I'm giving away now.
these dolls are lovely though, I'm quite taken with them myself.
That's a good one.
Really nice, yeah.
I know, see when kids came in and they were a bit running about a bit, I used to give them these down and
I'm sure that
quiet.
Would keep them quiet for a while, yeah. They're so lovely. You've got some really nice wee ornaments and things, so you're admiring your glass and everything.
I'm trying to think, wait and see if there's anything from, there's quite a few wee ornaments from the Russia here. There's some dead cheap ones. There's a place called Parker Franks, but he opened up in Pollock Shopping Centre,
right?
And it's a good job he shut again. He had 59 shops, and all of a sudden he went burst all over Britain. But I was buying this kind of thing every time I went in. How stupid can you get? Mm. But this is Russian. That's from Russia. That's Russian. This is where I keep my keys. That's Parker Franks. That's Russian.
Is that Russian?
That's Russian. Yeah. And I've got a book. On it here.
These are really lovely.
And this book's a bit dish. Yeah, that's it. I've got some of this stuff. And there's a samovar.
Oh, that's beautiful. They're so pretty, aren't they?
And that's Littlewood.
Oh, that's nice.
Littlewood. This is Russian. These are Russian. This is Russian. That's Russian. Let me see that one.
They're so simple, aren't they? They're really nice.
I don't know what's in the back of that. I see something at the back of that. It might be a fizzle. Okay, it must be just a moment.
This is
lovely. Some in the sea. And this was the, I mean, Morrissey, she was mentally retarded, this.
Right.
And the, in the nursery. And she was in a very nice soul. And at Christmas last year, she came up and she said, Morrissey, she had no money, fed a little. She came up with this for Maureen. So Maureen doesn't say, what these things are, so I get that one.
That's really lovely.
So,
I'm thinking actually I should maybe go through the train.
Well, tell you what, did it help to get the subway?
The subways are off.
Oh, the subways are off?
Yeah.
Ah, because George said he'd come in.
Right.
In about 5-10 minutes.
Oh, right. Well, I could maybe, because I'll need to get a bus, but I'll maybe get a...
I'm beginning to think you might have to hang about waiting and then coming
right,
out of my group.
Right, I'll maybe just go through the train then, because...
I know it'll be in 5 or 10 minutes, but it'll probably hang about.
Yeah,
if you don't
I'll
want to do that.
I'll need to get back into the office before I go home. Because, I had to get a bus to get the train, because the undergrounds are down.
Oh,
flooding.
I didn't know that.
In fact, I was lucky to get a train because I thought they were going to be...
So that's quite good. Your train's going back, I found out the time, 16 minutes past and 46 minutes past.
I'll go
for 46 minutes.
Right.
That's a Russian thing, by the way, too. That